Good morning, everyone. We're going to look at Isaiah 53 again this morning. We're continuing a study of that passage for our discussion of the Lord's table. Sorry, I'm all caught up here in my wire. There we go. Isaiah chapter 53 this morning. We've been studying this as we've had opportunity over the last several weeks, actually. And the next section of Isaiah chapter 53 is verses 7 through 9. And it says the following, Isaiah 53, 7 through 9. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Twice in this section of Isaiah 53, which describes the suffering sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ, the part of his body which is emphasized is his mouth. Now, we're told in James' letter, in James chapter 3 and verse 2, that we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. What I learned from that is that one of the most difficult things that we're faced with as Christians is learning to control what our tongue does. We can control almost every other part of the body first, successfully, and still have a problem in speaking too quickly, speaking arrogantly, speaking insults. That's the last part of the body that we often bring into submission under the lordship of our God. Jesus, however, in this passage, had perfect control over his mouth. He did not open his mouth, but instead, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, he remained silent before his shearers. Not because he didn't have things that he could have and perhaps even should have said, but he allowed his heavenly Father to say those things through prophecy and through his resurrection. He himself did not return insult for insult. You and I, we usually quickly protest unjust treatment. In Matthew 26 and verse 60, when the witnesses gave false and contradictory testimony, Jesus did not speak in his own defense. Verse 63 simply says that he remained silent. When he was brought before Herod, and Herod peppered Jesus with all kinds of ridiculous questions, Jesus, in Matthew 27 and verse 14, did not answer. He knew the kind of person that he was faced with. He simply said nothing. He remained silent. When the mobs and the soldiers and those who were questioning him before the Sanhedrin beat on him and insulted him and plucked out the hair of his beard, he neither responded nor retaliated. Even though Matthew 26 and verse 53, Jesus said, I could call 12 legions of angels to come. And yet he did not open his mouth to send forth that call. As we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, let us remember, first of all, his quiet and submissive suffering. Not only did he give over his body to be beaten and crucified, but he even kept his mouth shut. He even brought his mouth, his lips, into submission to what his Father expected of him. And perhaps of all the things, that speaks most to his willingness to suffer at the hands of unjust men for our salvation. But I'd like to leave you with a different thought, to not only meditate upon his quiet, his silent suffering this morning, but to think of his mouth in another way. If you flip all the way over to Revelation chapter 10, we are given a different picture of Jesus' mouth in two places. First, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, the Apostle John says, as he was on the island of Patmos, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice, like the sound of a trumpet. And that voice begins to give John instructions. And it's the voice of Jesus. What a difference that mouth, those lips, that tongue that was silent, on the day that he was crucified for our salvation. But how different to see the reality that Jesus here speaks as the resurrected Christ, as our God, with power and with authority. Contrast the quiet lips to the loud voice like the sound of a trumpet in this passage. And then later in Revelation 19 and verses 11 through 16, we see something even more amazing about the lips of Jesus. This is Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw the heavens opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. On his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Most amazing thing about the silence of Jesus is to know that it wasn't just because he had nothing to say. It wasn't just because it was kind of pointless to plead his case because Pilate had all the power. Quite the opposite. Jesus had all the power in that situation. He was the one true sovereign God. But he willingly closed his mouth and endured the pain and the suffering. Why? On our behalf, so that we could be saved. The reality is that Jesus has a sword coming from his lips, which is the very word of God, with which he rules in a very sovereign and powerful way. And one day we will stand before him in judgment. So as we recognize through the elements of the Lord's Supper our Savior who saved us by his submission, let's also realize that we're worshiping the one true God. Brian's going to lead us in a song here this morning, and then we'll partake of these elements.
John made some great points. Truly, it is a wondrous cross that we survey. It's wonderful to us, and it also leaves us in wonder of all the things that Jesus put up with and did for our soul. Let's sing out.